Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to keep going with this series about Bible contradictions. We're going to add to the series. And today, here is one that I have heard many times before. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4, it says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." But verse 5, the very next verse, it says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." All right, so we've got two verses back to back. One says, "Answer not a fool." And the very next verse, it says, "Answer a fool." All right. Well, guys, if I can understand if you're going to point out a Bible contradiction that maybe spans between multiple books, or maybe one that is in the same book, but it's perhaps several chapters away from each other. I can understand at least going that route. But when an atheist points this one out, they're really grasping at straws here. Don't you think the author of Proverbs, of these particular Proverbs, would have realized that he said two verses in a row that contradict each other? There's something more going on here. And so today we're going to look at that. But first, let's look at what exactly is a fool. When you look in the book of Proverbs, a fool is mentioned multiple times. A fool despises wisdom. They are always right in their own eyes. They are deceitful. They're scornful. A fool despises correction. When you try to correct them or instruct them, it's pointless because their speech is filled with foolishness. They don't want wisdom. They don't want understanding. Okay, so that is a fool according to the book of Proverbs. Of course, all you guys have heard the verse, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." So that's the fool we're dealing with here. Now, friends, there's a few different ways to deal with this apparent contradiction. And I think both are valid. It comes down to, guys, you know, there are times where you are talking to somebody and they wax foolish on you, okay? And they bust something out, okay? They say something against your faith, against the Christian faith. And you're left with that dilemma. You're left with a choice. Do you answer them or do you not? As Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. There's times when you're trying to talk to these people who, according to the Bible, are considered fools, and they're scornful, they're mean, they're nasty. All right, they're insulting you. They're pig-headed. You know that not a word you say is going to change anything. It's going to be like casting pearls before swine. Has that ever happened to you? It's kind of like the new atheists. Many of the new atheists are like this. Rather than hearing your arguments, rather than dealing with your arguments, they spend most of their time just insulting you, attacking your character. And that would be a perfect example of pearls before swine. Seriously, when people act like that, when they're not civil, when they don't want to hear what you have to say, they don't care what you have to say. They're just going to talk over you. They're going to attack you. They're going to make you feel like dirt. And really, you're wasting your time in many cases. Of course, let the Holy Spirit guide you, okay? If you really feel like this is somebody that the Lord wants to reach, that, you know, the Lord is really pushing you to reach, hey, I mean, who am I to argue with that? But there are times when, like verse 4, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." Now, conversely, there's times when you're working with somebody, when you're communicating with somebody, and you see the signs of somebody who, yes, they might fit that Proverbs description of a fool, but there's something about them. Perhaps they are reachable. Perhaps you see signs of repentance. Perhaps you see a look in their face that suggests maybe they are hearing you, and that would be a situation where you would answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Okay, so that's one viewpoint. All right, well, I think there's a little something to that, but I don't know if it really fits. All right, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. So here's another point of view. There are times when your silence will also, to a fool, confirm that what they're saying, the nonsense they are spouting, is to them, that must mean it's true. And also, there might be others standing around that, again, if you allow this thing to go unanswered, this person will feel wise in their own conceit, in their own eyes, in other words. And so, okay, that's another way to look at these two verses. Again, well, and friends, I think that this one has a little more weight to it. There is a third option, which I didn't see coming, but actually I found a little fascinating when I was studying up for this particular podcast. Some people see this as, in that first verse, 26 verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. Well, according to his folly. Okay, so some see that as according to his ungodly presuppositions. Okay, so if they're a naturalist from that worldview that says the natural is all there is, material is all there is, we are nothing but molecules in motion, there is no supernatural, well then to answer them according to their folly, according to this view, would be to engage in these arguments of trying to prove the existence of God, to trying to prove the Bible. And I think going back to that series where I had Israel Wayne on the show, we talked about the three types of apologetics, that would be if you were using evidentialism, all right? You're using evidence or evidential apologetics to try and convince them of your position. Now, guys, I kind of like the evidence-based approach, but at the same time, I can see where what the Bible clearly says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And also in Romans, it talks about how, Romans chapter 1, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible, look at that, God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. According to the Bible, guys, according to the Bible, according to God himself, everybody knows that God exists. And so when we engage in arguments to prove the existence of God, well, we might be spinning our wheels. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy listening to debates by people like William Lane Craig and many others, Frank Turek, Greg Kokel. I love those guys, okay? They might be a little bit off on the age of the earth, but I love listening to their stuff. It's good stuff. But again, according to this position on Proverbs chapter 26, verses 4 and 5, answering a fool according to his folly would be answering him according to his ungodly presuppositions. And when you answer a fool according to their presuppositions, you are engaging in their game by their rules and therefore have a really difficult time winning. Then, again, according to this position, verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes or conceit. That would be the verse that directly follows verse 4. All right, and so what the author, again, in this position is saying is that sometimes you do answer a fool according to their folly, as in you take the roof off, you rip the rug out from under their feet, you show the folly in their presuppositions. For example, if you have somebody who believes that everything evolved by chance, the universe is completely materials, we're all molecules in motion, all right? And basically our bodies are just composed of various chemicals interacting with each other, then look, if your brain is nothing but a bunch of chemicals and molecules in motion, your chemicals reacting with each other, you know, like Frank Turk always says, like a Coke can fizzing, it's just a chemical reaction. How can you trust any of those thoughts in your brain? How can you trust any of the presuppositions that you've come to? Likewise, when people say that there are no moral absolutes, again, if they're coming from a naturalistic standpoint, a naturalistic material world foundation, where does morality come from in their position? Seriously, I'm not saying they can't be moral. Of course not. Nobody says that. But how do they justify their position? Like, how can they justify that murder is wrong? I mean, where does that come from? Because from an evolutionary worldview, from a materialistic worldview, that's just survival of the fittest. You see what I'm saying? How can rape be wrong? That's just forcing your genes upon somebody else, okay, in their position. All right, so anyway, going back to this position that answering a fool according to their folly is taking up their presuppositions, but then in verse 5, answering them according to their folly, lest they be wise in their own conceit or wise in their own eyes, would be, okay, there are times when you need to speak up and rip that rug right out from under them. They don't walk away from this exchange feeling like they had nothing to say. I shut them down, you know. I'm right and they're wrong. And of course, there might even be people who saw the exchange and you might want to answer them according to their folly so that these people that are watching have a shot at being saved. So anyway, that's that. Maybe this was a little bit disjointed of a podcast. It is what it is. Again, verse 4, answer not a fool according to their folly, but yet verse 5, answer a fool according to their folly. It does make sense, and good grief, guys. Are we really to believe that the same person that wrote verse 4 forgot that they wrote verse 4 and went on to write verse 5 and made that much of a blatant, obvious, smack yourself in the forehead contradiction? I don't think so. So with that, we'll stop right there. Friends, if you'd like to chat about this, hey, if you have any Bible contradictions that are bugging you and you'd like me to address it in a show, hey, send that to me. Mike@youthapologeticstraining.com. That's my email. You can also catch me on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, all those places. I love that stuff. I love it when people give me ideas. And when you guys do give me ideas, some of you have given me ideas and I haven't put them into a show yet. They're on my list, okay? Whenever you guys give me ideas, I put it on a list. And I've got a list that seems to be getting longer, faster than I'm knocking things off the list. So that's kind of cool. I like that. I like that. It's a good place to be. But anyway, whatever the case, thanks, guys, for listening. I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.